It was the sixth year of the plague, and Jane Doe 573 decided to shed her skin early. The spontaneous decision was hers alone, an early birthday gift to herself. She deserved to spoil herself without guilt once a year. Sitting in the Neofleshe Clinic's waiting room with a Replenish Me drink in hand, Jane 573 smiled with secret delight, savoring the prospect of wearing a brand new body, complete with an identity swap to boot. Why not? A 2-for-1 special was too good to pass up. Jane 573 sipped her drink as she browsed through the hologram catalogue filled with this season's latest models. Tanned faces and toned torsos flashed on and off with each blink of her surgically implanted contact lens. Her artificial retinas adjusted the focus and color of rotating images to match her mood. Her contacts made the modifications, delivering a parade of brown, black, and pale figures across her dilating pupils. The waiting room was more packed than usual. The release of the new catalog always triggered a surge of customers looking for a change. A nearby window overlooking the cityscape opened, allowing the diffused light of the dying sun to filter into the space. A play of orange smog-tinted light and blue shadows somersaulted across the polished tiled floor. Jane 573 thought that the tiles would be perfect for her home sweet home's living quarters. Maybe if her mate John 415 got an increase in credits, they could make the purchase. She would ask him when he arrived from work later that night. The tiles would be a small extravagance. Their home sweet home was spacious compared to the crowded, closet-like spaces of the untouchables who lived and worked in the lower depths. Subsisting like moles down below, Jane 573 thought, was hardly living. It was more a matter of simply existing hand to mouth. The untouchables manned the factories and their bodies greased the engines that kept the vast machine of their world running full speed ahead. Their day-to-day meager rations were table scraps, hardly enough to bargain and barter for anything more in the vast black market. It was strange that Jane 573 would spare a moment thinking about the untouchable class. She did not know anyone who dwelled among them. Why worry yourself over such matters? The thought vanished as quickly as it appeared. She blinked again, and a new rush of bodies for sale flooded her senses. Jane 573 plunged deeper into the almost inexhaustible supply of this season's favored offerings. Despite the vast selection before her, her mind returned to the one nagging question that mattered most to a young woman in her station in life. What will everybody be wearing on this cycle? Jane 573 knew she would eventually make her selection. It would be an impulse buy, not unlike the artificial plants blooming in her kitchen. Like clockwork, their fiber optic petals opened every morning to receive the rays of the solar panels mounted in the windows. She blinked and blinked once more. Then she paused at the holographic image of a slender black woman in her 30s. Nubian eyes stared back at her from the phantom catalogue delivered straight to her eyes. Perhaps something ethnic would be an adventurous choice. Maybe a different race, like her girlfriends raved about last season. Jane 573 was shaken out of her daydreams by a rush of heat in her right palm. She sprung from her seat when she saw the timer grow bright gold in her hand. "That's me," said Jane 573, almost shouting to the packed waiting room. The other customers, men, women, and a few children, looked at her with indifference and mild disdain. They went back to their separate browsing, their multicolored contacts with arching rainbows cloaking dull and disinterested eyes. Multiple pairs of eyes blinked, self-absorbed customers immersed in their hologram shopping spree. A door in the waiting room irised open, and a young, comely female tech in a bright honey-colored jumpsuit appeared. The tech beamed with confidence and good cheer. Jane 573 held out the golden timer to the tech, who smiled and pointed to the disposal unit in the wall. Jane dropped the timer into the open chute. A flash of fire, then nothing. "Right this way," said the female tech, as she led the way down a long corridor honeycombed with cocoons. Following close behind, Jane 573 smiled inwardly, moving gracefully in her designer jacket and matching slacks. She could have closed her augmented eyes and found her way to the waiting cocoon on her own. The tech presented a vacant cocoon radiating warmth and the pink soothing light of an artificial womb waiting to give birth to her new self. Jane 573 stepped inside and turned to see the wall stitch itself close, cutting off her view of the departing tech. Alone within the cocoon's pink and purple walls, she disrobed and carefully folded her clothes neatly and placed them on a recess in the small chamber. Naked and mildly excited, Jane 573 slid into the replenishment bed. Her slender frame slowly sank into the warm, soothing bath of healing fluids. The overhead lights dimmed and she closed her eyes. The delicious rush of expectations was overwhelming. Waiting for the metamorphosis to take effect was almost the most pleasurable part of the process. The liquid washed over her torso, arms and legs, and finally, her face. Immersed in the bath, she fell sleepy. The anesthesia enveloped her in comforting nothingness. Cradled in this manufactured darkness, Jane 573 did not feel the bath slowly peel away her old skin from muscles and tissues. Her old flesh fell away in the private casket of massaging liquids as every pore gaped open, thirsty to drink from the fountain of newborn bodies. In this hallowed place, where countless skins were shed and replaced ad nauseam, Jane 573 did not dream. The artificial sleep quieted her anxious mind. No pictures or sounds penetrated her chemically induced slumber. There was only rest. Jane 573 was still and patient, and soon, very soon, the waiting came to an end. She opened her eyes to see the female tech standing at her side. The woman held a small mirror. For the first time, Jane 573 looked upon her new body, her skin smooth, tanned, and perfect, like the hologram catalog promised. Her skin fit perfectly. There would be no need to make adjustments in a follow-up appointment. The priests of the Neo Flesh Clinic had perfected their ritual skinning of clients' tired, been there, done that features. No unwanted wrinkles or imperfections that the bath could not erase in the cocoon. The cleansing of tired, familiar flesh would be the highlight of her day. Nothing to remind her or her mate or anyone else of the friendly absence. No scars to trigger memories of the distance that grew daily, inch by painful inch, between her and John 415, slowly separating them in their home sweet home. John 415 would surely approve. This time, she told herself, it would be different. The newborn skin and freshly ironed and pressed personality would summon back what they lost when disease took the child away from them. A new package for an empty vessel. Jane 573 left the Neo Flesh Clinic feeling invigorated and refreshed. She decided to walk through the shopping mall. Maybe something else would catch her eye, a new outfit perhaps. It was time to celebrate, to splurge a few credits on herself. Something elegant to match the brand new skin job, shrink-wrapped around her skeleton housing her brain, heart and other organs. Those things remained unchanged. Clothes spun from the finest synthetic threads and jewelry, cut and polished in designer boutiques, shined and glittered in shop windows. Holograms of blood diamonds from the colonies overseas cried out to her with the silent plea, "Buy me, buy me, buy me." The familiar siren song to the one true god of capitalism, whose altar was spread out in every shop and outlet's holographic window display. Buy me and you will shine anew. Buy me and you will feel young again. Buy me and your mate will favor you above all others. Buy me and never worry again. Buy me and change your life. Buy me, buy me, buy me. The song was always the same. Jane 573 left the mall. With two shopping bags in tow, she walked to the parking garage where her silver chariot waited in a charging station, neatly parked among an army of similar vehicles waiting for their owners. The vehicle's door slid open. She climbed into the driver's seat and the door quietly closed and locked. She placed her shopping bags on the plush passenger's seat next to her. The chariot hummed and jumped to life and the car drove her home in comfortable silence. The latest model of automated vehicles was programmed to find alternate routes to avoid rush hour traffic. With her seat reclined at a comfortable angle, Jane 573 smiled at her reflection with its perfect complexion and pale eyes concealed with iridescent contacts. Her reflection smiled back from the windows, superimposed over the passing scenery. In a day or two, Jane 573 would be completely acclimatized to the skin job, and she would grow to adore the stranger greeting her in mirrors and other reflective surfaces. At least until next season arrived with the latest designer faces and bodies beckoning from the updated catalog. Soon the chariot brought her back to where she belonged, home sweet home. The vehicle glided into the underground garage and pulled into its designated spot, then stopped. The driver's door slid open and Jane 573 retrieved her bags and took the elevator directly to her suite without stopping at any other floors. Jane 573 never felt the desire to join the workforce or preoccupy herself with a career. She briefly thought of the female tech in the cocoons and she wondered if the young woman, who was not much older than herself, was happy. The curious thought faded when the elevator door opened to her floor. When Jane 573 approached the front door of the suite that she shared with John 415, the small robo-camera mounted indoor did not recognize her at first, so she used her card key to let herself in. The door closed behind her. She made a mental note that all of Home Sweet Home's face and voice recognition software for doors and appliances would need to be recalibrated to adjust to the features of her new face and body that she presented to the world. As the kitchen unit prepared dinner at the program time, soft music played throughout the apartment suite. The large wall monitors brightened with moving pictures that shifted and danced with the favored eye candy that the couple enjoyed day in and day out. Vacations to the Parthenon morphed into video postcards of their time in Paris, seamless and perfectly timed montages of their other travels to Spain segued into scenes of Portugal and Italy and numerous places in between. Home Sweet Home took good care of Jane 573 and John 415. The suite's menagerie of rooms satisfied their needs for shelter, rest, and recreation. Food and drinks were prepared by the automated kitchen, just as other automated living quarters cradled and protected other couples in the surrounding suites. Everything was provided, except for a solution to the empty nursery. It was not that long ago when their little one used to play and sleep and dream up make-believe games only a child could imagine. The room with the crib and toys stayed locked and unchanged. Why let the room go to waste, her girlfriends often said. Jane 573 and John 415 could always adopt a refugee baby. There was plenty to choose from and there were catalogs for those services as well. A mail order baby would be happy here. The missing pieces would fit perfectly to complete the puzzle of their streamlined lives of leisure. Swept up in a momentary wave of fatigue, Jane 573 absent-mindedly touched her flat abdomen where nothing would take root and grow. The disease had robbed her of future offspring too. The doctors prescribed rose-colored contacts and pills to chase away the blues with comforting mood swings at will. And of course, the cocoons of the revered Neoflesh clinics always delivered on their promises. But the disease had done its work all the same. Of course, Jane 573 was not the only woman left barren and childless by the plague. Many men and women were left sterile as the last of their family lines. In the early days of the plague, the disease swept through the metropolis like a quiet and stealthy thief, moving from person to person, leaving its mark in the interiors of countless bodies. 6 years with no cure, and 6, 7, 8, or perhaps 9 and 10 more years might pass before the doctors, specialists, and scientists solved the riddle of the plague. There were the ugly rumors that the state deliberately used the disease to keep the population numbers in check. Not too many mouths to feed was a good thing. But Jane 573 was not the sort of woman to give such whispered heresies against the state much thought. Didn't she have all of her material wants catered to? John 415 had a good and well-paying desk job, one that allowed them to go on holiday whenever they pleased. It never occurred to Jane 573 to ask her mate what he did at work every day. Why worry herself over the details, as long as the credits were there every month to keep them satiated? Finally, dinner was ready. Jane 573 set the table and placed 3 plates on the white linen covering the tabletop. Silly me, she thought, and removed the 3rd plate and returned it to the cabinet with their best china. Jane 573 took her usual seat at the table and waited. She would surprise her mate on this special day. John 415 would arrive at the state-approved eat and rest hour, and he would open the front door to find a stranger greeting him in the doorway. She imagined the momentary flush of confusion flashing across his face. He would not recognize her until she opened her mouth to speak. Then her voice would leap from her throat and fill the living space, washing away all the traces of unfamiliarity from his expression. "It's me," Jane 573 imagined her voice, resplendent and warm in the room of her daydream. "Don't you recognize me?" Her no-nonsense mate would ease into his after-work mode, blinking to adjust his mood before smiling back. "Of course I recognize you, love," she imagined him saying. However, Jane 573 knew better, of course. Her mate never used the 4-letter word aloud. They played this game every time she made a pilgrimage to the neo-flesh clinics, and the moment of surprise always faded. Gradually, the novelty of the neo-flesh purchase would become commonplace and taken for granted alongside the other new additions to the living space. They would enjoy their dinner in silence. Eventually, the illuminated walls would dim, and they would retire to their bedroom with the fast approaching night. Yes, John 415 would approve. He might even show it with a touch. Something between kindness and casual neglect. Most evenings, however, he stayed on his side of their queen-size bed. His body eased into REM sleep with the aid of sleeping pills. Jane 573 lightly kissed her sleeping mate on the cheek, then rolled away to her side of the mattress that adjusted to the collective weight of their bodies in the dark. Perhaps next time, Jane 573 would try a new race after all, a different ethnicity and background to scrub clean her past once and for all. Maybe black, Hispanic, or some exotic cocktail of the international flavor that would leave her girlfriends feeling envious. New season, another catalog would enter the marketplace promising bliss and much needed change. Next time would be the one. Next time.